Well, the deadline is always a bit of an emotional roller coaster. You're doing a lot of conversations leading up to it. You just never know what teams are going to make players fully available. And then to complete a trade, you have to find a trade partner. In this case, it was Anaheim in both cases. And, a number of talks led to us being able to complete deals and address areas of need for our hockey club. You know, depth scoring was so important for us last year. We found a balance of bringing skill and speed and scoring maybe on the right side with size and scoring on the left side in both Nick and Andre.
Danton Heinen and David Backes go to Anaheim. Those guys were big parts of the group for the last few years. How difficult are those decisions when you have to part with guys that have meant so much to some of the guys in the room?
I wish obviously them well and thank them. They are big parts of what we were doing and have accomplished, and you don't lose sight of impacting people's lives in that regard. I don't really take kindly to just being business and business transactions. I really believe there are people and lives involved in this. Appreciative of David expanding his list to be able to look for an opportunity for him, but also to improve our club. And in Danton's case, a long history with development of him. Know him very well, his family. Great, great person. Impactful player for us. I think he'll have a great rest of his career, be it in Anaheim or moving forward, and I wish him very, very well. But a difficult day for when you're losing, quality people, quality players, it hurts, and I don't take it lightly.
About 6 weeks to go here in the regular season. What will you be looking for over that final stretch?
Well, we'd like to continue to play our best hockey and stay as healthy as humanly possible. The games are going to come, and we got a couple back-to-backs. We got a trip out west, so we're going to need the depth of our club. We're in a pretty good position right now, but we have to try and maintain that. And hopefully, like I said, you stay healthy and play your best hockey down the stretch.
Great. Thanks, John.
All right.
Everybody, this is indeed the Shuki Wright Show. This is Shuki Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Network Touch Free Farm Radio. Glad you're able to join us on this Tuesday, February 25th, 2020. Great to be here. And yesterday was absolutely just an absolute whirlwind. It was just insane, all the way through and through. So we're going to start the show looking back on what a crazy day it was for the Boston Bruins and even the NHL in itself, because it was absolutely insane. So we're going to start the show talking about Boston Bruins and Don Sweeney in particular. That was Don Sweeney being interviewed by Bruins reporter Eric Russo on recapping on the NHL trade deadline day. That was quite eventful around the NHL. But as far as the Boston Bruins, it was rather interesting. Very interesting. So phone lines are open. I'm calling at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. And yesterday when we left the show, I mentioned that yesterday was a very big day. It was an important day for the Boston Bruins and a pivotal moment as to what's going to come next as this team prepares to make a run for Lord Stanley Cup. And I gotta tell you, I mean, we have 2 hours. I'll be here with you until 8 a.m. this morning. We have 2 hours to look back on everything that happened involving the Bruins, some of the storylines I really want to get into, and so forth. So I will say that today's show is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I want to start off the show talking about Don Sweeney yesterday, because it was one of those trade deadlines in which that if you're on the outside looking in, you're looking at this either one of two ways. You're looking at this as if, number one, you're looking at it with, well, the Bruins right now, they're number one in the NHL, 90 points. And they have 19 games to play, which, by the way, they're playing the Calgary Flames tonight at the Garden at 7 o'clock puck drop on Nesson. They're looking at it that way. And then there's another way. The one on the outside could look at it and say, they're good, but ... they're lacking X, Y, and Z. And that in itself is, it's a very fair assessment. And I've been one of those who have brought up this point time and time and time again. So, as I sit here this morning, I tell you, if you're a Bruins fan, I know you're probably thinking, well, how do I feel about after yesterday's trade? Should I be overly excited? Should I be disappointed? Should I feel upset? This morning, I feel neither upset or mad. I don't. Because if last year has shown me anything in particular, it has shown me that it's very hard to make finalization in judgment as to whether if a team, in this case obviously the Bruins, passed with flying colors in getting what they absolutely needed. Now, a year ago at this time, the Bruins went out and got Charlie Coyle and Marcus Johansson. Now, we know how it ended. We know how that went. We know that it was a resounding success, without question. But, and I do mean but, if you go back to within the first two to five days after the trade, you know, and I know, I myself was absolutely critical. I was very critical of those moves as into how were they going to help the Bruins in terms of secondary scoring. I don't get the moves. I don't like it at all. Because I was one of those who was clamoring for either a Mark Stone before he went to Vegas or a Matt Duchene. So, it's not necessarily always the big fish that you get that ends up being the most impactful move you make. And Don Sweeney showed that a year ago. It remains to be seen whether if the addition of Nick Ritchie of the Anaheim Ducks yesterday and Andre Cauche, also formerly of the Anaheim Ducks, on Friday, payoff dividends come the Stanley Cup playoffs. As I sit here this morning, and I know some of the Bruins fans are thinking, it's not going to work. I don't get Don Sweeney. This is a bad move. Hold on a moment. A lot of you, including myself, were saying the same thing a year ago about Charlie Coyle and Marcus Johansson. And look how that played out. So that's why this morning, I'm exercising an air of caution. Let's wait and see. And of course, the fan wants the GM to go get the big fish. That's given. I know that, and I understand that completely. But like I said, it's not always the big move that always pays off in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's not always the big moves that pays off in a championship. And in hockey, that is ever so true. It is. And I think that oftentimes we misconstrue the general manager's inability to get the big target as, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing, or, oh, man, what are we doing? I don't like this at all. This move sucks. Yada, 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 yada. I've heard it all. But my message to Boston, greater Boston, and throughout New England is this. And I'm not asking much. I sincerely am asking you the following. Wait and see. Because one thing I will say is that yesterday I was reminded by a Bruins fan on Twitter. I'm just going to paraphrase what was tweeted to me. And I was reminded that, you know, before I called the move that was the Nick Ritchie trade, a bad one. Think about the difference in size and as well as the money aspect. Just paraphrasing what was said to me on via Twitter. And it's a good point. It's a very, very good point. And I will tell you this. The more I think about everything that happened yesterday in terms of the Bruins, the more sense it makes. No question. The more sense it makes for the Boston Bruins, both in the now and as well even for next couple of years. But this morning, being a little, actually less than 24 hours removed from the trade deadline, I think it's imperative that we avoid all sorts of brash decisions and brash judgments and let it play out. I come from the school of thought in which you just don't know how a trade is going to play out. You don't know within the first 24 hours. You just don't. You don't know. Nobody knows. And for those who are reacting and it's over the top, I'm not here for it. I'm not here for it this morning. I'm not here for it moving forward. I'm not here for it until we get to the playoffs. And then we'll see what the end result is. We will see. There's no guarantees at all. And there were no guarantees last year, in hindsight. There's 19 games remaining for the Boston Bruins. And after tonight's game against the Calgary Flames, they'll be down to 18 games. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the final stretch of the season. You're down to 19 games. You're officially in the last quarter of the season. 19 games remaining. The Bruins have played 63. So, my question to you Bruins fans this morning, how do you feel? How do you honestly feel? I'll share with you how do I feel coming up in the next segment about how do I feel about the Bruins post trades, post deadline. How do I feel now versus 24 hours ago? And I think it's something that's worth giving some thought. Because I know a lot of fans this morning are either annoyed, upset, or happy and the ones who realize this was a good deadline in terms of the Bruins and Don Sweeney with the forward thinking that this would better suit the Bruins in the long run. So we're going to take a break. And coming up next, I want to share with you how do I feel about the Bruins post-deadline versus 24 hours ago. All that plus much more coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Girls' night. Oof. It's gonna be good.
Solo solito en la habitación. Busca que busca de mi calor. Whoa. Remedio pa' tu dolor. Nadie te lo hace mejor que yo. Oh, no, no. Que no se te apague la situación. Tú sabes que yo no te dejo plantado. Calmao, que yo voy en camino, amor. Calmao, que yo quiero conmigo.
Si tú me llamas, nos vamos pa' tu casa. Nos quedamos en la cama. Sin pijama, sin pijama.
Si tú me llamas, nos vamos pa' tu casa. Nos quedamos en la cama sin pijama, sin pijama.
Yo, yo, yo.
Vuelvo a contarle mi secreto a tu almohada. Mientras tanto hagamos videollamada. Me manda fotos, fotico mostrando todo todito. Cuando llegue de par estamos en la cama.
Baby, hoy no vamos a dormir.
No.
Baby, hoy no vamos a dormir.
Ya, ya, ya.
Que no traes pijama porque no me dio la gana. Baby, hoy no vamos a dormir. Baby,
dale pom 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 pom, ponle carne a mi sazón, son 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 son, choca todo eso con mi bom 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 bom, perdemos el control pa ganar los dos,
así que dale pom 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 pom, ponle fuego a mi sazón, son 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 son, choca todo eso con mi bom 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 bom, espero tu call, vente dame el gol.
Si tú me llamas.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to, poof, guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio streaming live on the TuneIn Radio app nationwide as well. Glad you're able to tune in on this Tuesday morning. Wherever you are, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your day. We're going to talk about the Bruins in the aftermath of the trade deadline yesterday. And we started the first segment talking about how it's important for the Bruins to exercise some sort of wait and see instead of resorting to extreme reactions, which is so common on social media. And during this segment, I'm actually going to share with you my own personal thoughts on the Bruins now, after the acquisitions, post-deadline, versus 24 hours ago. And as always, you can call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. So, one thing I will say is this. The Boston Bruins, yesterday, they were on top of the NHL standings. Cool. This morning, still on top of the NHL standings. Cool. That hasn't changed. But one thing I do know is this. One thing I do know is that when it comes to the Bruins now and how I feel about the Bruins, I feel like this team, with the new additions that it has made, with everything that they've had to do and everything they had to accomplish this season up until this point, the Boston Bruins know, without a shadow of a doubt, that the talk of redemption really won't mean much of anything until the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that won't come until the start of the playoffs in April. And I think that the Boston Bruins have put themselves in better position to contend than they were before. And I'm talking beyond just this season. Beyond that. Now, obviously, the focus is 2020 and the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, obviously. But at the same time, I think that if the Bruins are going to look beyond this season and the next couple of seasons, I think this is a better team moving forward over the course of the next couple of seasons. No question. And I think it's important for me to point out this fact here. With the moves that they've made yesterday, the Boston Bruins, they've now created about $5.25 million in cap room. And that creates financial flexibility. And I brought this up yesterday on Twitter, in which I said in a reply that, and now that I think about it, it is also creates an opportunity for the Bruins to really offer Torey Krug a substantial amount of money annually to remain a Boston Bruin after the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs concludes. So I think more, and just looking at more than just the moves that they've made in terms of the financial flexibility that they've created, they've done it actually a pretty good job. And again, this is just looking at it from a complete overall standpoint, in which that the Boston Bruins went into yesterday knowing that they have to make a move while at the same time create breathing space in terms of the salary cap situation. Because they had to count every nickel and dime. They had to. And that trade of David Backes to Anaheim is so huge. And then plus Denton Heinen, who was the player traded by the Bruins for Nick Ritchie yesterday, that only adds to now the salary cap space, and it creates some wiggle room for the Boston Bruins. And that in itself, I think it's imperative to point that out and to keep that in mind. While I was clamoring for Chris Kreider yesterday, saying that, you know, that would be a top option for the Bruins. If not, it should go after a guy like on Kyle Palmieri and so forth. But at the same time, I really come to a point and a place in which I realize maybe not going after either player isn't a bad thing after all. And the phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I just think it's going to be really interesting and fascinating to watch how this all unfolds. Because the one thing that I've learned over the last couple of years now, especially trade deadline acquisitions, you don't know how it's going to play out. You just don't. If you were to tell me 2 years ago, when the Bruins went out and they acquired Rick Nash, that deal would actually end up being short-lived because of concussions by Rick Nash, I wouldn't have believed you. And that because of that, the Bruins wouldn't even get out of the second round against the Tampa Bay Lightning in 2018. I wouldn't have believed that. So, I do know this for a fact. With the trade deadline acquisitions, there are absolutely no guarantees. There were no guarantees a year ago, in which they went out and got Charlie Coyle and Marcus Johansson. There's no guarantees now as to how this will work out in terms of Andrej Kaše and Nick Ritchie. So I'm not saying that I feel any less enthusiastic about the Bruins. I don't think I feel any more enthusiastic about the Bruins moving forward. So I think it's pretty fair to say that I'm very much in the same place. Like, I think this team is more than good enough to make another deep run, but considering the moves that the Washington Capitals and the Tampa Bay Lightning have made, who knows? We don't know. We don't know how it's going to pay off. We don't know what's going to happen. There are no guarantees. Go ask the Tampa Bay Lightning from last year. You were the Presidents' Trophy winning team, 128 points in the regular season, and you didn't win a single playoff game. Not one. In the 2019 Stanley Cup playoffs, you got swept in four games by the Columbus Blue Jackets, who prior to then had never won a playoff game. Amazing. Amazing is such the harsh reality of the Stanley Cup playoffs, which is why I'm glad that very point was pointed out in the Boston Globe. I was reading up on a column in the Boston Globe this morning on my way here, actually. And the one thing that I've learned in reading the article, it's interesting that the author of the article also recognizes the harsh reality of the Stanley Cup playoffs, that there are no guarantees. And he pointed out, and Kevin Paul DuPont, who's a Bruins writer for the Boston Globe, he pointed out last night in the column that's up on bostonglobe.com. I want to read you the excerpt. He writes, quote, "The Bruins took their second step in finalizing their playoff roster as the NHL trade deadline expired on Monday, adding a would-be power forward in Nick Ritchie less than 72 hours after picking up fellow Duck Andrej Kashe for a dash of speed and offense on the right wing. Add it all together, and what do you get? Perhaps a Stanley Cup, or maybe another crushing two-hander to the soul come the end of Game 7 in the Cup Final. Even worse, maybe a first-round ejection such as Tampa Bay suffered last April after entering the postseason as huge favorites to be champs. Such is the enduring reality of the Stanley Cup play." He couldn't nail it even better than that. He couldn't nail it any better than that. There was no way. And I said it just literally minutes ago that there's no guarantees with these moves on how it's going to play off for the Bruins or even for any other team. And that's just the truth. That is the truth. I'll go back even a few years back. I want you to go back 5 years ago. I'm going to use this example because I want to point out something here. 5 years ago, the New York Rangers were coming off, just like the Bruins, a Stanley Cup final loss. But they lost in five games to the Los Angeles Kings. And the following season, during the 2014-2015 season, they were the President's Trophy winning team. And during that season, the Rangers, they were looking to add another defenseman. And guess who came up as a viable trade option? Keith Yandel. Keith Yandel. So the Rangers pulled the plug. They made the deal. They sent Anthony Duclair to Arizona. In that deal, Keith Yandel comes to the Rangers. And guess what happens? The Rangers, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7 at home against the same Tampa Bay Lightning that I was just talking about a few minutes earlier, and lose. They lost to the Tampa Bay 2-0 in that Game 7. 2-0. And that was the last time the Rangers ever got that close to getting back to the Stanley Cup final. So what I'm saying is, my feeling about the Bruins now versus 24 hours ago hasn't changed. Hasn't really changed. I don't feel any more excited. I don't feel less enthused about the Bruins, about their chances. But I do know that these two pieces are going to be vital if the Bruins are going to make a run for the Stanley Cup this spring. A lot remains to be seen. There are no guarantees. Let's not fool ourselves. And even if the Bruins had gotten Chris Kreider, I would be pumping the brakes on the fans who say, "That's it, we're winning the Stanley Cup this year." Stop. That it means nothing. And if you're a hockey fan, you know all and well that it means absolutely nothing. The Stanley Cup playoffs and the regular season, two different seasons, two different animals. And that's just the fact of the matter. Coming up next, I'm actually going to talk about Chris Kreider and address it head on. And yesterday, you remember, not even just yesterday, but in the previous shows from last week, I was talking about the Bruins should go after Chris Kreider. But some breaking news took place during, I will say early morning, but like late morning presser that was done, or breaking news presser that was done by John Davidson, the president of the New York Rangers, and how it impacted the Bruins and my thoughts on that. That and much more, plus your phone calls at 855-915 WMFO, 855-915-9636. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Writes. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, South Street Farm Radio.
Quedado en la basura. Y tonto tú que te engañas. Si ya yo no...
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Form Radio, streaming live nationally on the TuneIn radio app and TuneIn.com as well. We are going to continue talking about the Bruins during this segment before the 7 o'clock hour arrives and so forth. Your phone calls are welcomed at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And yesterday I was talking about how the Bruins should really zero in and go get Chris Kreider. And as we all know, a lot changed. A lot changed. And to this morning, we all know now that Chris Kreider has agreed to a new 7-year contract extension with the New York Rangers. That the deal was finalized yesterday morning, according to Rangers president John Davidson. And I gotta tell you, this is one of those things in which that if you're the Boston Bruins, perhaps this is a good thing. And who's to say that what would have happened if the Bruins had gone out and acquired Chris Kreider? Do I wish that Chris Kreider would have been a Boston Bruin? Yeah, sure. But I also understand this as well, that perhaps the Boston Bruins would not have been able to retain, they wouldn't have been able to retain Chris Kreider. No way. So here's NHL Tonight on NHL Network yesterday on the thoughts of the New York Rangers retaining Chris Kreider and offering that 7-year contract extension given by the New York Rangers with the annual average value of $6.5 million. Here it is.
The biggest name out there heading into deadline day. And at the end of the day, he's not moving. EJ Redick, Mike Kelly, yeah. We're glad you guys haven't moved either because you're going to break it down for us. Surprised that Kreider stays put for 7 years?
It's a mixed bag, Jameson. When I think about the Chris Kreider situation, we have certainly invested enough time talking about yes, Chris Kreider over the last several weeks. I did get the sense that he was going to go, but in the end, I like what happened. The Rangers have played better lately. They realize with Panarin there, with Zibanejad there, maybe it's nice to continue to have Kreider there as well as they continue this kind of rebuild that's been escalated with the addition of Panarin for certain. And the player gave a little bit on money per year, and mm-hmm. the team gave a little bit on term. They added the 7th year, and that made it happen. And this, Mike, he is a unique player, and I think that's why it was probably everybody's best interest for the Rangers to hold on to him.
Yeah, unique's a great word. I'll use another U word, which is unicorn, when you talk about Chris Kreider, because he's got this blend of speed and size that is so unique in the National Hockey League. Let's talk about the speed. You know that he can create off the rush. You watch his highlights. He can power his way to the net. He's top 5 in the NHL in goals off the rush. He can score from that inner slot, net front area, even strength, or on the power play, especially on the power play. All of his power play goals this year have come from that net front area. And 45 points, so he's having a terrific season. And, you know, it's not like it even strength with as good as Panarin is. It's not like he's benefiting so much from that because he doesn't play with him. He's playing with on the second line. So Chris Kreider, unicorn, unique type player. And to your point, EJ, I think the New York Rangers look at this and say, hey, we've got Mika Zibanejad, who is a legit number one centerman. Great both ends of the ice, all situations. We've got the Breadman, who is a phenomenal player.
Makes everybody better.
It doesn't matter who he's playing with. Yep, now you've got this guy who's just a power winger, really fast as well. And probably saying to themselves, you know what, we're maybe closer than we thought we were.
Yeah. And they probably weighed the market, too, because what would they have gotten? You know, we know what they would have gotten. They would have got a first-round pick, mm-hmm. a prospect of some sort, and then maybe a conditional pick on top of that. And when they look at it, they've had a number of picks. They've got a guy right there, you know, in young Kako, who's still there, and he is going to continue to get better and develop as a player. So for me, I thought, and with the goaltending situation there, they got good young goalies coming. I think it makes a lot of sense. But he is a unique player for sure, mm-hmm. and the deal makes sense for both sides. So I certainly, you know, I think it makes sense for the Rangers to go that way. It was probably a tough couple of weeks for Jeff Gorton, but once Kreider came down on the money and they were willing to go up on the term, that made it happen.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about this off camera as well. He's a guy that's in terrific shape. And you talk about aging curves and things like that and where he'll be at the end of this contract. But I think we're both pretty confident for at least the majority of it, he'll still be able to produce at a reasonable rate.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, coming up April, his birthday, so he will turn 29 in April. And he was a first-round pick in 2009. He's been a Ranger since then, so I see him as a good fit. If you could have blown the doors off with a deal, you make it. I don't think there was one there to be made, and they keep them.
That was AJ Raddick on NHL Tonight on NHL Network, courtesy of NHL Network. Yesterday, when the Rangers had announced on the contract extension and so forth, and I have been very consistent about this. Leading up to yesterday's trade deadline day about the Bruins going after Chris Kreider. Now, I will start off by saying that I think it's a good thing that this deal happened on both sides. For the Bruins, they do not have to worry about, had they acquired Chris Kreider in a trade, what they were going to get back in return, as well as what would they have been able to trade away in terms of assets. Because remember, they had traded away their first round pick in the 2020 NHL draft already in the David Backes deal. So that first round pick was gone. And then on top of that, that same amount of money that Kreider ended up getting paid by the New York Rangers on the average and the annual average value, $6.5 million. I tell you, I don't see the Bruins would have been able to afford that while retaining on Torey Krug. If, again, let's play this what if game for just a moment. Just quick moment. If the Bruins had gone out and gotten Chris Kreider, and I've been very vocal about the Bruins going after a guy like Chris Kreider, who is, as you heard in the clip, courtesy of NHL Network, they've been very vocal about going after a guy like Chris Kreider who has got great speed, has the ability to score power play goals from the inside slot, as well as be able to be a driving force with the puck towards the net and so forth, especially with breakaway opportunities. I think more than anything else, you know and you understand that such a type of forward is a rare commodity in today's NHL. You just don't see those anymore. It's rare. And also, if anything, I think the long-term deal, especially the back end of it, is concerning. If you're the New York Rangers. But fortunately for now, and moving forward, this isn't a problem for the Boston Bruins. This isn't a problem. Now, some would say, damn, why didn't the Bruins make a harder push for Kreider? Honestly, this actually works out. And it's funny because yesterday, I played devil's advocate for a segment yesterday's show. As in, why this may be a good thing if they don't get Kreider. I talked about it very briefly. And the thing that I kept coming back to was, what if he walked out in the summer? Now what? So you traded away draft pick, and the brain just were not going to settle for a second round draft pick. They would have asked for one of your quote unquote untouchable prospects, like an Oscar Steen or Jack Studnicka, for example. And the Bruins would not have been able or willing to part ways with those prospects. No way. And I personally would not have been able to foreseen them like making such a move. It would have been hard. You know? And that's just something to just think about. So, for the Boston Bruins, at this point, you make do with what you got. And again, and I said this during this first hour so far, it's not the sexy pick that ends up paying off in the long run. It's not. If anything, this yet again proves why Don Sweeney, so far in the last year plus, now, he's made some pretty shrewd moves that has paid off. The only thing missing is the Stanley Cup. That's it. That's the only thing missing. But he's done a pretty good job. But in terms of Kreider, and as I mentioned, and I watched him for years in New York, especially when I was in New York, he's a rare commodity, but at the same time, the Rangers know what they have. They were able to retain him at the last minute, because it really came down to the last minute, not literally, but you get the point. The deal was finalized just yesterday morning. So I think, if anything, this is a blessing in disguise for the Boston Bruins. And the more I think about it, the more I begin to feel as if perhaps I am in fact right about something here. I really do. Coming up next, second hour of the show coming up, as we have a lot more to get into in terms of yesterday's NHL trade deadline, and I want to share with you my thoughts and take on Andre Kashi and Nick Ritchie, because it's definitely interesting reading on some of the on a couple of columns that has talked about this. In particular, Andre Kashi took the ice yesterday over at Warrior Ice Arena in preparation for tonight's game against the Calgary Flames. So my thoughts on Andre Kashi and his debut coming up tonight for the Boston Bruins against the Calgary Flames. That, plus your phone calls, as always, welcomed right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Writes. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Touch Me From Radio.
Thank you. King.
Calculan que relaciones que fracasan mayormente es por desengaño. Falsedad que contamina y hace daño. Tú fuiste perfecto clavel que con mis manos marchité. Mi obra se llama Romeo sin Julieta otra vez. Puedes pensar, soy el rey de las mentiras. Volvería a fallar, aunque lo jure por mi vida. Mis palabras no importan ni valen ni de rodilla nada. Dice que ha visto muchas novelas y el actor debe llorar. Hacer otro disco con aventura y te lo dedico entero.
Bebé, si todavía me amas como antes, ya nada me parece interesante. Yo sé que en el amor soy un farsante. Yo sin ti no vuelvo a enamorarme, bebé.
Si todavía me amas como antes, ya nada me parece interesante. Yo sé que en el amor soy un farsante. Yo sin ti no vuelvo a enamorarme, bebé.
Sin ti yo no me vuelvo a enamorar. No sé ni qué pensar. Ya sé por qué todo me sale mal. Mentí diciéndote que era leal.
Que dejas cuando entras y sales. ¿Dónde quedaron los besos y todos los planes? No sé si vivir o morir. Me encuentro en un limbo desde que te fuiste de aquí. Eres la única persona que yo quiero que se venga encima de mí. Mi libertad no la quiero, tampoco la vida soltero. Yo lo que quiero es que quieran lo mismo que todos queremos.